Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
One of the great characteristics of the believer that Allah Azza wa Jal mentions right in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. This is the book, there is no doubt in it. It is a guidance for the people of taqwa, those who believe in the ghayb. They believe in that which is not obvious to them. It's not in front of their eyes. But Allah Azza wa Jal told them about it. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told them about it. So they believe in that which they cannot see. And subhanAllah, the greatest of al-Iman bil-Ghayb is to believe in Allah Azza wa Jal as your Lord, as the one who deserves to be worshipped, to believe in His names and His attributes and His actions. Because you will not see Allah until you die. But you believe in those names and attributes and actions, and you believe in Allah Azza wa Jal as your Lord, your Creator, your Sustainer, your Provider, and you believe that no one has the right to be worshipped except Him, when you have not seen Allah. And you will not see Allah Azza wa Jal until you die. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us from those that Allah said about them, وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. Those people who will look upon their Lord with the greatest pleasure for the people of Jannah Yawm Al-Qiyamah. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us far from those people that Allah Azza wa Jal said about them, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ كَلَّا إِنَّهُمْ عَلْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ. These people will be veiled. They won't be able to see Allah. That is the punishment that Allah Azza wa Jal gives them Yawm Al-Qiyamah. نسأل الله العفو والعافية. Believing in the ghaib is something that is fundamental to the Muslim. Like in here, there is an important point to note. Our belief in the ghaib is not a belief without proof. It's not like people say, just believe. You know, you just need to believe. You just need to have faith. It is a belief that came from evidence that is certain. It came from adilla qat'iyya, tufidul yaqeen. It came from certain evidences that give you absolute certainty. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jal said in the Quran, and what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to us in the authentic hadith. So we have no doubt in those things. We believe in them, and we believe in what Allah Azza wa Jal told us and what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us. From this world of the unseen is the topic that we came to talk about tonight, which is the topic of Al-Ayn, the evil eye. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Al-Aynu haqq, the evil eye is certainly true. Now a person might ask themselves, what is the evil eye? Because there are other connected topics which we're not going to talk too much about tonight, but they are there. They are topics that are connected. The topic of the world of the jinn and the topic of as-sihr, magic and the magicians. But the topic that we wanted to talk about tonight is the evil eye. The evil eye is like a bullet or an arrow that comes out of the soul of the person who gives it towards the one that it is targeted towards. And that comes at a time of jealousy, and it may come at a time of amazement. And it comes towards the person that is targeted. Now, from the outset, we have to say, before we start looking at the ahadith and the texts, we have to say that not everyone who is jealous gives the evil eye. That is a matter that is agreed upon, that there is not every single person who is jealous causes a physical harm to the one they are jealous of. Rather, most of the time, jealousy harms the person who is jealous. It doesn't necessarily harm the one that they are jealous of. What is the reality of jealousy? The reality of jealousy is أَنْ يَتَمَنَّ زَوَالَ النِّعْمَةِ عَنْ أَخِيهِ, that he wants for his brother or sister to lose the blessing they have. It's not that he just wants them to, he wants to have it. It's not just that I want to, for example, I want to have something nice. This guy's got a nice car. I want to have that car. It's I want him to lose it. I want him to suffer. I want him that he no longer has that khair with him. And I want that to come to me instead. And that is why jealousy is an evil. وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ. I want you to think about these ayat. They came in the context of the great evils. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ مِن شَرِّ مَا خَلَقٍ, the evil that Allah created. وَمِن شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبٍ, the darkness when it spreads. وَمِن شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ, the evil of the magicians when they blow upon the knots. وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ, the jealous person when they're jealous. Imagine that. That this came in the context of those evils, the evil of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, the evil of the darkness when it spreads, the evil of magic, and the evil of jealousy. Because the jealous person is someone who wants evil for you. And I want to also clarify that jealousy comes from a lack of iman in qadr. Because when you believe in Allah's decree, you know, أَنَّمَا أَصَابَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِئَكَ, whatever happened to you was never going to miss you. وَمَا أَخْطَأَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَكَ, and whatever missed you was never going to happen to you. Allah gave what He gave to someone out of His mercy and out of His wisdom and out of His knowledge of the suitability for that person and the opportunity for that person. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He didn't give it to you, He didn't give it to you for a wisdom that is with Him. And there is nothing wrong with you asking Allah for a blessing. وَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ, ask Allah for the blessings, the graces, the bounties that He has. But the problem here is, the person wants for his brother to lose. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. None of you believe until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. And so most of the time, the evil of jealousy is that it burns your good deeds. It eats away at your good deeds like the fire eats away at firewood. Imagine, Ikhwani, just example this box of tissue. I took the tissue out and I set it on fire. The speed that the fire burns through that paper is the speed that jealousy burns through your good deeds. And most of the time, the person who gets hurt is you, the jealous person. However, some people, when they are jealous, their jealousy actually causes a physical effect upon the person they are jealous of. And this comes from the evil of their soul and it attacks that person, it hits that person like a bullet. Now the example of a bullet or an arrow was the example given by Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala. It's a very good example. And the reason it's such a good example is because like a bullet, you might hit the person and you might miss. You might take a gun, you might point the gun, you might shoot the gun, but you missed. You might hit the person on their arm. And so they're injured, but they don't die. You might hit the person in the heart and they die. You might hit the person and they're wearing body armor and the bullet doesn't hurt them at all. Exactly like this is the evil eye. This is the example Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala gives. He gives it of an arrow. Today I gave the example of a bullet because we maybe understand that better today, but it's the same concept. Maybe you hit, maybe you miss. Maybe you are protected and maybe you aren't protected. Maybe it's a direct hit and maybe it's an indirect hit. And that explains the differences in the effect of the evil eye upon an individual, upon a person, according to their protection, according to what they have done or haven't, according to whether the evil eye hits them directly or indirectly, whether it hits them or whether it misses. It's also important to note that the scholars differ about whether the evil eye has to come from a position of jealousy. Now they all agree that jealousy is the primary driving factor. I didn't come across, to the best of my knowledge, any of the people of knowledge who said anything else. They all said that jealousy is the primary factor. But the difference of opinion they had is it possible that it doesn't come from jealousy? And there seems to be a reasonable body of evidence. We're going to mention some of the evidences, inshallah ta'ala. And that reasonable body of evidence suggests that it can come from the angle of at-ta'ajjub, being amazed. You know, like, wow. But not bringing that blessing back to Allah. And Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best. In any case, it is a blameworthy thing. It is a blameworthy thing. And the person who does it is to be blamed. They are not to be said, oh, I'm sorry, you didn't know. No, it is a blameworthy thing. However, it seems to me that it doesn't always require jealousy, even though jealousy is the majority of the reason for it. And therefore, we could say, not every jealous person gives the evil eye, and not everyone who gives the evil eye is necessarily jealous, even though jealousy is the majority of the cause of the evil eye. Before we talk about the evil eye, in the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I do want to talk about something before that. I want to talk about the generic means by which a person can remain protected by Allah's permission. And I'm always careful. Sometimes we put on the poster how to protect yourself. The answer is, my dear brothers and sisters, you cannot protect yourself. You can't protect yourself at all, because you yourself do not have the ability at all to protect yourself. Rather, your protection is fi'lul asbab, is doing the causes of protection that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave. As for the idea of the causes of protection, yes, from this angle, yes, you can do things that Allah has made a cause for being protected, and that is in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal alone. We're going to mention, let's say, 5 or 6, insha'Allah ta'ala. The first and the greatest thing by which a person can remain protected by Allah's permission from the evil eye, from the jinn, from sihr, from all of the evils that can happen to someone, from the umur of the ghaib and the things which are seen. is that a person preserves and guards and looks after their proper belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The proper aqeedah, the proper Islamic belief. What's the evidence for that? The statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. Those who believe and they don't mix up their iman with shirk. The Prophet ﷺ said it was shirk, right? The Prophet ﷺ defined the word dhulm here as a shirk. They are the ones that will be safe and they are the ones that will be guided. Allah promised you al-amn, safety, fi dunya, fi al-qabri, fi al-akhirah, all of them. Allah Azza wa Jal promised you hidayah, that Allah will guide you. يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah will make you firm. بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ, with a firm word. If you keep and you preserve this proper belief in Allah, that you worship Allah Azza wa Jal alone and you don't make any partner with Him. The reality is that if you don't have that, you don't have any protection at all. The second thing is to follow the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to implement it in your life. Because Allah Azza wa Jal said, فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Let those people take a warning, those people who go against the command of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that they are not struck by a fitna, by a trial. Some of the scholars of tafsir from the Sahaba and others said the fitna here is a shirk. But the person will come into a fitna, a big problem is going to happen to them because they went against the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's why if we look at al-firaq, al-dalla, the different groups and the deviant groups, we see that they went astray from this angle. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all kinds of things happen, the jinn issues and sihr issues and problems and masa'ib and fitan, because the person turned away from the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you want to look in Sunan ad-Darimi, the very famous hadith of Abu Musa with regard to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, when he saw the people counting the takbir and the tasbih, and they were doing it in a way that the companions didn't do. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud made inkar upon them, the strongest kind of rebuke. He said really harsh words to them, even though they were just saying Subhanallah and Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. And he said to them, are you upon a religion more guided than the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? After that, the narrator said, we saw the majority of the people doing dhikr, fighting against the Sahaba on the day of Al-Nahrawan. We saw them fighting, killing the Sahaba. They went from saying Allahu Akbar to killing the Sahaba. Based on what? فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ. Rather what happened is they went against the sunnah in the way that they made the takbir and the tasbih and the tahleel. They went against the sunnah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them against the Sahaba and against what Islam stands for. You don't have protection when you leave the sunnah. The sunnah is the ship of safety. The sunnah is Safinat Nuh. It's Nuh's ship in our time. Everyone else is going to drown. The only place that is safe is on board the ship, which is the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The third is at-taqwa. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever has taqwa of Allah, Allah will make for him a way out. Every problem. The word taqwa itself comes from the same root as the word wiqaya, a barrier, a shield. And that is why some of the people of knowledge, they said, فَإِنَّ مَنِ اتَّقَ اللَّهَ وَقَاهُ. Whoever has taqwa of Allah, Allah will shield him. What is a taqwa? You strive to do the best you can to practice your deen. And you strive to keep away from the haram. Now you imagine, I want you to imagine a person right now. This person, there's people jealous of him or her. There's people plotting against him or her. There's people who are trying to do sihr, magic, jinn attacks, evil eye upon this person. And this person is someone who firmly believes in the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. They only worship Allah Azza wa Jal. They believe in Allah's names and attributes and actions as they came in the sunnah, as the sahaba passed them on. They are a person who follows the sunnah in the small things and the big things. They are a person who is practicing their religion as much as they can. And when they make a mistake, they turn back to Allah. They are a person who is trying to keep away from the haram as much as they can. Do you really think that those things are going to harm that person? You don't, right? You automatically think this person is protected bi-idhnillah. We don't say that Allah will not test them. Rather, Allah Azza wa Jal will test us. But this person, do you think they will successfully pass the test, or you think this person is going to fail? Everybody thinks this person, inshallah, is going to pass the test. And from the things that I personally dislike, is that we come and talk about ruqya, and we talk about, you know, we talk about the cure for the evil eye, and we talk about the ahadith about it. And we don't say to people, ikhwani, at-tawheed, as-sunnah, at-taqwa. These are the asbab ra'isiyya, the main reasons why a person is safe. The fourth, the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, rather, the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, that he said to him, إِحْفَظِ اللَّهَ يَحْفَظْكَ. If you guard the rights of Allah, if you guard the commands of Allah, guard what Allah told you to guard, and Allah will keep you safe. Al-jaza min jins al-amal. The reward comes the same as you did. You guarded what Allah told you to guard, and Allah kept you safe. Ikhwani wa akhawati, I want you to think about something. What are the things in the Quran that Allah told us to guard? Number one, حَافِظُوا عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ وَالصَّلَاةِ الْوُسْطَى. Guard your prayer, especially the middle prayer, the Asr prayer. If you guard your prayer, the one that prays Fajr in the Jama'ah, فَهُوَ فِي ذِمَّةِ اللَّهِ حَتَّى يُمْسِي. He's in the care of Allah, in the promise of Allah, in the protection of Allah until the evening comes. Do you think someone that Allah protects is going to have something bad happen to them? How would you feel if you were in a dangerous, I don't know what Toronto's like, but Allah yasallim kum, Allah keep you safe. But you know, you're in a dangerous place. And you got a police escort everywhere you go. The police said, don't worry, we got armed escort for you. We got the motorbikes, we got the, you know, the armed vehicles, you got the bulletproof glass, you got the guys with guns. They're all going to be around you everywhere you go. Do you think that person is safer, or the one that Allah said, فَهُوَ فِي ذِمَّةِ اللَّهِ حَتَّى يُمْسِي. He's in the care of Allah. That the Prophet ﷺ said that he's in the care of Allah until the evening comes. فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا. فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is better to keep you safe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is better to keep you safe. What else did Allah tell you to guard? وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. Those people who guard their chastity. They don't come close to zina. Not the any of the types of zina. Zina al-ayn or zina al-yad. All of the types of zina the Prophet ﷺ mentioned. They don't keep in any of type of that. They don't come close to it. They guard their chastity. إِحْفَظِ اللَّهَ يَحْفَظِكْ. Allah keep you safe from the evil eye, from the jinn, from the sihr, from anything. Allah Azza wa Jal keep you safe. Lekin if you go down that route and you let that go, مَا يُدْرِيكْ يَا أَخِي. How will you know that something's not going to happen to you? What else? Allah Azza wa Jal told you to guard the hudud of Allah.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
والحافظون على حدود الله, those people who guard the limits of Allah, they don't cross the limits, they don't go beyond the bounds. Remember, extremism in Islam is two types. Always in Islam we have two types of extremism. Now people talk about one type, which is, they talk about al-ifrat, going too far. But in Islam, we have two types of extremism. Going too far is extreme, and not going far enough is also extremism. For us, they're both extreme. Ifratun wa tafriq. Both of them are extremists. One of them went too far, and one of them was too lenient. And both of them are extremists to us. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. We made you a middle ummah. We made you right in the middle. You don't go that way, you don't go this way. Our religion is never extreme. It is completely and totally balanced. If you stick to that balance and you keep away from that extreme, احفظِ اللَّهَ يَحْفَظِكَ. From the means of protection is to stick to your adhkar, to remember Allah Azza wa Jal. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا. All you who believe, remember Allah with a lot of remembrance. Always remembering Allah Azza wa Jal. SubhanAllah, just being somebody who's remembering Allah and remembering Allah. This puts you in a fortress. The shaitan cannot get inside. And I'm going to give you four situations where you should remember Allah. And this is يعني not ala sabil al-hasr, it's not like all of them. Lekin I just want to, you know, I want to give you four general ones. Number one, adhkar sabah, the remembrances of the morning after fajr and before the sunrise or around the time of fajr until sunrise. Some of the ulama allowed it longer than that. You sit down, if you don't know them, you take Fortress of the Muslim, Hisnul Muslim. You open up the section on morning remembrances and you read. And Allah keeps you safe from the jinn, from the sihr, from the evil eye, all the way until the evening comes. The second one, adhkar. Actually, we'll put it together, no problem. The first one, we put adhkar al-sabah wal-masa together, no problem, inshallah. Adhkar al-masa. Adhkar al-masa. The scholars differed about the time for it. But the one that I personally lean towards is the view of Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullahu ta'ala, عند المغرب, around the time of Maghrib. And when the sun is just setting, the shaytan is spreading out, إِنَّ لِلشَّيْطَانِ انتِشَارًا وَخَطْفًا. Shaytan is spreading out and snatching people. People are, bad things are happening, keep your children inside. That kind of time, just قُبَيْلَ المغرب, عند المغرب, when the sun is setting. But if you do it after Asr, or if you do it after Maghrib, لا بأس. No harm in that, inshallah ta'ala. This is the first one, huh? Adhkar al-sabah wal-masa. The second one, al-adhkar ba'd al-salah, ba'd al-salawat al-maktuba, after the obligatory prayers. You sit down and you say, Astaghfirullah, 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 Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam, tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram, until the end of the adhkar, ayatul kursi, and everything you read, the three quls, and Allah keeps you safe until the next salah. The third is adhkar, or al-adhkar inda al-nawm, when you go to sleep. Again, if you don't know them, Hisnul Muslim, open it up, go to the section of dhikr when you go to sleep. You can get it as an app, you can get it as a PDF, you can get it as a little book. I don't know how much it costs here. It used to cost like a dollar or something, but I guess now the prices went high. You have like a little book and you open it up. Bismillah. You read before you go to sleep. An angel comes and protects you by the permission of Allah all the way until the morning. And the shaitan doesn't come near to you. Tayyib, what's the fourth one? The adhkar that you say at specific situations that relate to the presence of the shaitan or the evil eye. For example, when you go in the house, you say Bismillah. Very simple, right? Bismillah. When you go and you eat, you say Bismillah. Now shaitan doesn't live with you and shaitan doesn't eat with you. When you go out of the house, you say, Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. You have been sufficed, you have been guided, you have been protected. And what will the shaitan do? Shaitan runs away and says, there's no point. What can I do against someone who has been guided and protected and sufficed? I can't do anything against this person. I'm giving up. When you go into the bathroom, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. Before marital intimacy, Allahumma jannibna ash-shaytana wa jannibna ash-shaytana ma razaqtana. All of these are times the shaitan can just, you know, something can happen. Shaitan can get involved. Shaitan can touch you with something. And it doesn't matter if shaitan is sihr, evil eye, whatever, the afflictions of the unseen. But the person keeps himself away. For the evil eye, there is one very important specific dhikr, and that is to invoke the blessing of Allah for the person. So what are you going to do when you feel jealousy or amazement? Doesn't have to be jealousy. Even a ta'ajjub, you feel amazed, like, wow, look at that. You're going to ask Allah to bless that person, even if it is yourself, even if it's you, even if it's your own child. Now, the people who speak Arabic know there's lots of ways to ask for Allah's blessings. And you guys are fine. You know how to ask Allah's blessings. There's lots of different sentences. If I were to tell someone who doesn't speak Arabic, I would suggest the statement, Allahumma barik, to be the most generic, sort of easy to remember way of asking for blessings. Otherwise, barakallahu lak, barakallahu feek, yani barakallahu lak feek, feehi aw feeha. There's lots of Arabic ways of saying it, but what you want to do is invoke barakah. Now someone asks, can I say mashallah? Mashallah tabarakallah. You can, in the sense that you're bringing the blessing to Allah, but it's better you follow the sunnah and you specifically ask for the blessing. Ikhwani, if you do this, you will not cause a problem for anybody. Your brother, your sister, they're not going to suffer from you. Even if you feel a little bit of jealousy. You know, like some of the Sahaba said, وَمَا مِنَّا إِلَّا, about superstition, they said, وَمَا مِنَّا إِلَّا. Everyone, things happen to them, right? Everyone, sometimes you have a bit of a mistake, you have a bit of a wrong feeling in your heart about something. But ultimately, when you see something you like, Allahumma barik, oh Allah, bless them in it. Oh Allah, give them more. Oh Allah, give them and give me. No problem. You want for yourself also. Don't stop yourself. It's fine. Oh Allah, bless them and bless me. Oh Allah, give them more, give me. Make this your habit. Don't say, I'm not from the people who get jealous. I'm not from the people who give the evil eye. I don't normally say those things. I don't feel like that. It's never happened before. Make the habit and encourage your brothers. Sometimes someone comes and says, oh, you know, that's a very nice car you have. Say, akhi, please. Say, Allahumma barik. Wallah al-ayn haqq. Ikhwani, I'm talking about wallahi, I heard from our mashayikh, those who said that al-ayn can be worse than sihr. And there is a hadith, and it's a weak hadith, la yathbut an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the concept of it is very true, in the sense that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the thing that will put the people in their graves and the camel into the cooking pot is the evil eye. And the hadith is not authentic. But it encourages or it makes us think, how many people, ikhwani, die? How many people? The Prophet ﷺ mentioned, we're going to hear the hadith. Why would one of you kill his brother? Why do you want to kill your brother and sister for? How do you not, you know, subhanAllah, why would you kill? Why would you kill your brother or sister? Why can't you make your tongue say, Allah bless them? Hatta if you don't know the Arabic, say in English, oh Allah bless them. Allah bless them, Allah bless them. If you still feel something, say again, Allah bless them. Until it goes from your soul, until you feel that go from your heart. Allah Azza wa Jal has no limit to what He can give you. Don't restrict, you know, this, like as if that's the only car. You know, subhanAllah, you see a nice car, wallahi, there's a nicer car around the corner. Maybe it's for you. No problem. Just ask Allah Azza wa Jal. You see a beautiful house, there's a more beautiful house somewhere else. Whatever you see that is good, that is pleasing to you, that is amazing, there's always something Allah can give you that is better than that. And even if you didn't get it, because Allah knew it wasn't the best thing for you, Allah has many, many more blessings that He can give you, and the grace of Allah is vast. That finishes our discussion with regard to the means of protection, generally speaking. As for the evil eye is alluded to in the Quran without being mentioned directly. And from the alluding to the evil eye in the Quran is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَإِنْ يَكَادُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَيُزْلِقُونَكَ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ لَمَّا سَمِعُوا الذِّكْرِ. Almost the people who disbelieve would make you fall down, would make you slip with their eyes when they hear the remembrance. And they would give you the evil eye and they would make you, and he physically cause you to slip, cause you to fall, because of the evil, the jealousy they have. Hasadan min indi anfusihim. Jealousy from themselves. And from it is indicated the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ. As for the sunnah came and it came with a lot of detail about the evil eye. We're going to take a few ahadith, and from these ahadith, we're going to learn a little bit about it. And inshallah ta'ala, we'll suffice ourselves with that, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. The hadith of Anas, radiyallahu anhu, that he said, رَخَّصَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي الرُّقْيَةِ مِنَ الْعَيْنِ وَالْحُمَةِ وَالنَّمْلَةِ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam permitted, he made an allowance for ruqya in the case of the evil eye, fever, and the bite of an ant. And there are other things, the scorpion sting and the snake bite. There are different narrations from it. But the point here is that in the beginning or the early days of Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited these incantations, the ruqya, because people were new to Islam and they might bring something into there that is from the shirkiyat, making a partner with Allah. So the Prophet ﷺ didn't permit it. But when people would become afflicted by the evil eye, it was so serious, the Prophet ﷺ allowed them to use the ruqya. And this also shows us that one of the ways to treat the evil eye is a ruqya to shar'iyya. Islamic ruqya, that's one of the ways that we treat the evil eye. In reality, my brothers and sisters, the reason for this is there are two situations with the evil eye. Either you have in mind who might have given it to you, or you have no idea who might have given it to you. If you have in mind who might have given it to you, we're going to come to that. If you have no idea who might have given it to you, here we go to al-ruqya to shar'iyya. And as for the ruqya shar'iyya, then it is with the Book of Allah and with what is authentically reported from the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the dua. And so you read the Quran with the intention of curing the evil eye, and you read those ad'iyah, those dua, with the intention of curing the evil eye. And inshallah ta'ala, Allah Azza wa Jal facilitates for you a cure. Now, if you want to know more about that, because we have very little time, I just recently finished an explanation of it. You can find it on the Bukhari Center YouTube channel, the Bukhari Center in Ottawa. You can find it on their YouTube channel, how to do the ruqya, and we talk about how to do it for the evil eye and things like that, because it's a bit of a big topic. But we'll continue through the ahadith. The hadith of Salama, زوج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لجارية في بيت أم سلمة. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to a servant girl in the house of سلمة, رأى بوجهها سفعة. He saw on her face that she had صفرة. She had like a yellow tinge to her face. What does that tell us? It tells us that the evil eye can be seen on a person. Now we don't, not always, but you see the person just doesn't look right. Something is wrong. He saw that her face doesn't, she's something wrong. It does, she looks like, we might say like jaundiced. Something, she doesn't seem like, she looks not right. فقال بها نظرة. Or nadhra, he said, she has the evil eye. فَاسْتَرْقُوا لَهَا. She has the evil eye, so you should make, you should seek someone to do ruqya for her. And from the hadith of Asma bint Umays, that she said, O Messenger of Allah, إِنَّ بَنِي جَعْفَرْ تُصِيبُهُمُ الْعَيْنِ أَفَأَسْتَرْقِي لَهُمْ. She said, O Messenger of Allah, the children of Ja'far, they get easily affected by the evil eye. That shows evil eye can affect children. What's the dua that you say to protect your children? أُعِيذُكَ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ التَّامَّةِ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْطَانٍ وَهَامَّةِ وَمِنْ كُلِّ عَيْنٍ لَامَّةِ. That's the dua the Prophet ﷺ used to make for Al-Hasan Hussein. I seek Allah's protection for you from every shaitan and every beast and every envious eye. She said the children, they keep getting affected by it. And that shows people can become susceptible to the evil eye. They can have a problem of getting the evil eye again and again. Shall I ask someone to make ruqya for them? فَقَالَ نَعَمْ لَوْ كَانَ شَيْءٌ سابق القدر لسبقه العين. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yes, you should seek ruqya, because if there were anything that would compete with qadr, it would be the evil eye. The hadith of Amir ibn Rabi'a radiyallahu anhu, he said, انطلقتُ أنا وسهل بن حنيف نلتمس الخمر فوجدنا خمرا وغديرا وكان أحدنا يستحي أن يغتسل أحد وأحد يرى. He said, we went, me and Sahal ibn Hunayf, they went out in the time, the earlier days of Islam. He said, we didn't like to make ghusl in front of each other. You know, we didn't like that we are unclothed in front of each other. You know how the non-Muslims don't care. You know, they just get changed in front of each other. He said, we didn't like to do that. He said, فَاسْتَتَرَ مِنِّي. He covered himself from me. حَتَّى إِذَا رَأَى أَنْ قَدْ فَعَلْ نَزَعَ جُبَّةً عَلَيْهِ مِنْ كِسَاءٍ. He said, when he saw that he was hidden from me, he took off his clothes. ثم دخل الماء, and he went inside the water. فنظرت إليه فأعجبني خلقه. He said, I looked at him and I was amazed by his physical form. In some narrations, it mentions that he said to him, I've never seen anyone with skin like this. Not even a young unmarried girl. I never saw anyone with skin like this. Sahal ibn Hunayfi fell down as though, you know, he collapsed. They came to him and they brought the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for him, and he said, إِذَا رَأَى أَحَدُكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسِهِ أَوْ مَالِهِ أَوْ أَخِيهِ مَا يُعْجِبُهُ فَلْيَدْعُ بِالْبَرَكَةِ فَإِنَّ الْعَيْنَ حَقٌّ. He said, if any of you sees something that amazes you in himself or in his wealth or in his brother, make dua for barakah, because the evil eye is true. Rather, in some of the narrations regarding this, they said to the people, هَلْ تَتَّهِمُونَ. Do you accuse anyone that this person did the evil eye? That shows the permissibility of accusing, the permissibility of saying that I think it was this person. They said, Amir ibn Rabi'ah mentioned him. Yani Amir ibn Rabi'ah was, you know, maybe he looked at him. The Prophet ﷺ called him and rebuked him with the strongest rebuke. The Prophet ﷺ rebuked him with the strongest rebuke. And the Prophet ﷺ said to him, عَلَى مَا يَقْتُلُ أَحَدُكُمْ أَخَاهُ. Why would one of you kill his brother for? He said, هَلَّا إِذَا رَأَيْتَ مَا يُعْجِبُكَ بَرَّكْتَ. Why, when you saw something that amazed you, did you not say, Allah bless him? Then he said, اغْتَسِلْ لَهُ. Make ghusl for him. فَغَسَلَ وَجْهَهُ. Pay attention to this bit. He washed his face. وَمِرْفَقْ وَيَدَيْهِ وَمِرْفَقَيْهِ. And he washed his hands up to his elbows. وَرُكْبَتَيْهِ. And he washed his knees. In some of the narrations it says he made wudu for him. وَأَطْرَافَ رِجْلَيْهِ. And he washed the ends of his feet and his toes. وَدَأَخِلَةَ إِزَارِهِ. And he washed inside of his, you know, inside of his waist wrap. You know the wrap they put around the waist. And what you put, like your, I guess you would say, your undergarments. He put the water inside. All of this was in a big pot. So he was, while he was doing it, he's standing inside of a big bucket. And the water is falling into the bucket. What did they do? Then they poured the water upon the sick person, upon Sahal ibn Hunayf. They poured it on, ala ra'sihi wa dhahrihi min khalfihi, on his head and behind his back. And he got up as though there was nothing wrong with him. In some of the narrations, it mentions that he made wudu for him. And there's no harm in either, any whatever is easy for the person, if they make wudu or if they make ghusl. But what they must do is they collect the water. So they stand maybe in the bath, in a pot, whatever. They wash themselves and then they take what? They take the water. And then they pour it over the affected area of the person or over the back of their head. Over their head and the back. So the person, if that's the right person that gave them the evil eye, as if nothing is wrong with them, they'll stand up.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.